Another beautiful day, another beautiful week of What Do You Know with Joe. Let's get to the intro.
Sit down and chop it up. Let's talk about it.
Well, let's ask the right question.
Who's convinced?
We're starting to see the mind bank stuff now.
It's What Do You Know with Joe. What's going on, everybody? It's another great week of What You Know with Joe. As always, we've got Baxter, we've got Winnie, we've got Lindsay, and now we have our little nugget. She's doing great. Had doctor's appointments today. All came back well. Great episode this week. Cannot be more eager for everyone to listen. It's with Odds Jam co-founder Alex Monahan. He is a genius, good friend of mine. For those who don't know what Odds Jam is, it's arguably the most sophisticated and smartest arbitrage software for sports gambling out there. It's going to make you, one, it's going to make you more money. Two, it's going to increase the amount you win over a long span of time, as well as just show you the correct way to bet. I think that's one of the top things Alex and I talk about is the education behind it and how it's, in that aspect, it's a lot different than other sports, you know, pros, quote unquote, you'll see out there telling you how to make picks. There's actual science and statistical data backing these up. And I mean, the facts are in, you know, people go check out their Instagram page or go check out all the people saying, well, I'm up this year with all of my NFL bets because I use Odds Jams, or same thing with NBA or any other sport. It's amazing. So go check them out. I'm not going to take up any more time. We're going to jump right into the episode. Before we do, though, go check out Sneakerhead Golf. The promo is still live. Joe15. They've got hats. They've got sweatshirts. They've got t-shirts. They've got golf gloves. They've got everything you can think and want to rock on the course. Go check it out. I had a chance to do a cool photo shoot. Shouts out to Rachel Hitchcock. Side plug, if you ever need a great photographer for your next event, or you need a photographer for, you know, a photo shoot you plan on doing, please reach out to Rachel Hitchcock. She is awesome. The pictures came out phenomenal. They look stunning. Everyone go check out Sneakerhead Golf. You can use my promo code Joe15 to get 15% off. And also, you'll look amazing on the course. Let's go ahead and jump right into the episode. Very excited for everyone to listen. What's going on, everybody? Thanks so much for joining me on another episode of What Do You Know with Joe. I've got a good buddy of mine and genius, Alex Monahan. Alex, thank you so much for joining me, my man.
Absolutely. I'm happy to be on.
Oh, dude, so it's been a minute. We were talking a little bit before. You look great. The guy looks fantastic. People see this. So I want to dive into all. I guess besides co-founder of Odds Jam, is that your official, like, are you like co-CEO or just the co-founder of Odds Jam?
We just go with co-founder. I mean,
that works.
Kind of similar roles in a lot of ways, different in a lot of ways. I just go by co-founder. So
that works.
Yeah,
that works.
Yeah. My co-founder is definitely the boss here one. So
yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
They listen up. They listen up for Alex.
Yeah.
So before you got into Odds Jam, and at people don't know, you went to Stanford, and you were in trading, and you were a quantitative trader before you were in Odds Jam. Real quick, before we get into Odds Jam, like, what is quantitative trading? Quantitative trading, and then how did you jump into Odds Jam from there?
Yeah, so I'd say I always liked, you know, math. So kind of in college, I liked gambling, I guess, more than math. Like, I liked the idea of betting. So, like, poker, you know, games that I could actually win, like, I just enjoyed. Not like slots. Yeah. I'm not trying to make it sound like I was out there on the slots machines, but like beating people in poker, like objectively winning, even though it wasn't like large dollar amounts, but being able to do it consistently was exciting for me. So I think like quant trading is very much so, you know, like beating the house, right? Not really. You kind of are the house, but like I worked at this company called Susquehanna, which is, you know, arguably the first kind of prop trading firm in the country, and like very innovative, very small, very lean. And they just like, it was an awesome place to work. And like, all I did was gamble all day. And then, I mean, all you are is you work with a bunch of gamblers and who are smart, and you just gamble all day, beat the market. And it was fun. I enjoyed it. I loved it. And it was the best job, I thought, after school. So just trading derivatives, like options, and you know, like tons of money worth every day, and it was fun. Like it was just one job.
That sounds dope. That's and definitely sounds like the way you described it. It sounds like it's actually something that sounds pretty like entertaining, and sounds like something every day. You're like, I could get into this every day. Yeah. It's not hard to motivate yourself to get into work if that's what you're doing.
I mean, I was so sad. Seriously. Yeah. Like I'm still so sad. Like I would literally wake up, you would go to work, especially during COVID, right? And you just gamble. Like it was right. And it wasn't my money. So like,
yeah, right. Exactly. Essentially it's play money, you know, it's like Monopoly.
Yeah, exactly. Not actually, but you get my point. It was a great job. And like, yeah, I mean, anyone who ever, like, I have nothing bad to say about the firm. Like I loved my job. I loved everything.
So that sounds like, you know, since it essentially it's just like a form of gambling in itself, it sounds like it was pretty, you know, it was I don't want to say easy transition, but the transition made sense in that, like, did you find that a lot of the things you were doing there translated over into what you were going to do at Oz Gym?
Well, so I lived, Susquehanna was very interesting because they have offices everywhere, but their main headquarters is in Philadelphia, because I think, I don't know the exact story, but not Philly. It's actually a suburb of Philly called Ballard-Kenwood. So I lived in Philly, right next to the New Jersey-Pennsylvania border, which were the two states to legalize sports betting.
Yep.
So, and probably have arguably the best sports betting in the country, and they were first. Mm-hmm. So when sports betting legalized, I mean, people used to like talk about like their kids and like their wives and stuff like that at work. No longer. Like, at a trading firm, I mean, all people, like, literally the only thing you ever heard talked about was sports betting, was DraftKings, was FanDuel. Because all these guys are gamblers. And now you have FanDuel coming into the market. And people who are already gamblers have another way to gamble and beat everyone. Like, before it was like people would talk about, yo, I play online poker for fun and I beat everyone. Now it was, I beat the sports books. Here's how I do it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think honestly, even like when in college and stuff, people would use like, what was it, like 444 bet now, and like use like a bookie via like Venmo or something like that. Now it's become so easy, especially now that it's legal. It's, you download the app and they're giving away, you know, arguably like free dollars. Like, sure, you have to give in like, you know, $5, but then in return, they'll give you like $100 worth of gambling dollars to spend. And it's like, yeah, that's nothing. I'll do that easily. So you started doing this in college, like you were gambling, like not to the highest extent, but like playing poker, things like that at Stanford. Is that, and that's, you know, kind of what influenced you and got it on your radar?
Yeah. And then I was trading, and obviously I worked with very smart people overall. Yeah. And like, I'd say I started to bet on sports, like dabble in 2018.
Uh-huh.
Then I probably would like have like 50 grand down in a day. And I just like go to work. I just go to work and like not even flinch. Yeah. So then I like got really serious about, you know, sports betting and was making more money betting on sports on the side than I was making my job. So then I kind of just, at one point, and sports betting kept getting legalized more and more places.
Yeah.
So I kind of viewed like the US as like this like place where I was like, oh, I could live anywhere and make money. But then also it just kind of became like, sports betting's not like, you know, it's very time intensive. Sportsbooks can cut you off. They can ban you once you make too much money off them. It's not like it's not really like a full-time thing. So I'd say I started thinking about like, are there opportunities here? And like, I think pretty quickly I realized we didn't think like people were doing it super well, like content, software.
Gotcha. And so I guess to what you were saying and kind of leading to my next question. So like, so someone who may not know too much about, you know, gambling or sports betting, how would you describe like, what is Oz Gym? Like, how would you describe, like in your simplest way, would you describe Oz Gym to someone if you're trying to get them to use it?
Yeah. So I'd say like, we kind of view ourselves as like a media and software company that focuses on like data in sports betting, but not data, you know, like, a lot of people talk about sports betting, like, you know, this coach said this, you know, they talk a lot about the players, the sports,
right?
But they don't talk about the numbers. And what's fascinating about sports betting is every sports book has different odds. They have different prices. They set lines independently. So Oddsjam's really about like showing you every bookmaker in the world, there's thousands. Mm-hmm. So you can look at the market as a whole and try to make better betting decisions. It's a Bloomberg terminal for sports bettors.
I like that. I like that. I think people will be able to pick up on that. So how did you and your buddy Ankit like come up with this idea? Did he work at SIG too, or like was he just a buddy from school?
No, we actually went to high school together. So he's from Virginia too, and then college together. So when we graduated Stanford, like I never liked engineering as much. So he kind of went the traditional software route. He stayed in the Valley. He actually started a company. His co-founder still runs it. He ended up like exiting his position and leaving during COVID. So we both kind of like, I think during COVID met up and like he was betting on sports a little. At least was, you know, or like it was still in Pennsylvania, obviously. So then at some point we just like, you know, talked about it and realized it was like we thought it was in just a good idea. So we launched it and I'd say like, you know, we were young. We are young. So like at the end of the day, I was like, fuck it. Worst case, I'll have to get another job. And that's that. So.
Worst case, yeah. I mean, why not try?
I didn't really worry. I mean, I did. I was very sad the first day I quit because I missed trading. I missed going in. And you miss the paycheck, obviously. You miss, you know, having a job was great. But I think once Oddsjam picked up pretty quickly, like, I was very happy with the decision. I think we should have done it. Probably didn't pull the trigger quick enough. To be honest. So
I was going to say, it's interesting to hear you say that part. So, like, honestly, like, from the beginning till now, like, how, like, have you been happy with the progress that Oddsjam's made? Like, have there, you know, like you said, it's been pretty fast, dude. You guys have grown pretty quickly.
Yeah, no, we have been, and we don't have investors. Like, so it's a fun business to run because, you know, like, we've grown every month a lot and like, you know, our audience, our traffic, our revenue, and like, we don't have people, like, it's not like, you know, like, it's nice because we run the company and like, we make the decisions, which, you know, obviously, it doesn't always happen once you have investors. Like, it can be very stressful, but we got very lucky because we are still self-funded. We're profitable and we don't need people's money. So, we're not going to take people's money. So, we can kind of like do what we believe is best. So, I've been very happy with that, the ability to stay profitable and never have to raise money to like hit a payroll. And then you have, you know, money always comes, all money's green, but the strings attached, you know, really matter.
Exactly.
So being able to self-fund it, we were very happy with. And then just, I think, you know, I mean, just being able to like get good people around the table kind of has made us really happy.
Absolutely. And, you know, like, I think that kind of leads into what I was going to ask Ness is like, you know, did you ever think it was going to get this large like that quickly? Did you ever think like, I mean, obviously, you know, you have the confidence that it's going to be successful, but did you ever think, wow, like this is taking off a lot quicker than I thought?
Well, people always told us there was like a specific amount of revenue cap that they believed was in the sports betting industry, and we blew it away pretty quickly. So we
were kind of like,
because most companies in this space are solely advertising. Right? Yeah. There's not many like products. There's people who like sell their picks, but there's not really like B2C software. Like, even for.
No, I know what you mean.
Like most people aren't out here like buying software to place their bets, right? They bet, they watch some videos. So it was, that scared us initially. But I think just like states coming online, like New York, like obviously like just New York coming online is a big deal. And like California possibly in November is very exciting. Like, we've also just, you know, we've grown a lot too, just by the fact that it's like weed, right? States come online and we get bigger just because some governor signed some piece of paper, which is cool or bad. Yeah. Depends how you look at it. It's scary, but cool.
I was going to say, so like the more, I was going to say, like, I could see people, so the more states that legalize it, you know, that benefits you in that aspect. I mean, but you know, it is, do you always see it being a positive effect, or how could there be, I guess, you know, what are some negatives the more and more states legalize it?
Oh, no, the states are always positive. It's more just like states don't do it, you know, like because it can go both ways. Sometimes they say they're going to launch and they don't. And, you know, like these timelines aren't always certain, but for us, it's kind of like, you know, as long as there's sports books and
yeah.
Also, you know, Canada, Ontario just launched. So, you know, we've been able to grow our traffic and revenue in Canada a lot, even in Europe. Absolutely. Starting to pick up. So we're focusing on, I'd say Europe has a lot more products and like places where you can look at odds together. Like,
yeah,
the idea isn't like revolutionary, right? Like there's literally mm-hmm. a company called Odds Checker in the mm-hmm. US that like displays odds for like horse racing and all these things. So it was just like, there wasn't a good one in the US.
Right.
So like, but now we're kind of, you know, starting to add in European sports books and Australian and just pick up some traffic from there, which is cool.
Yeah, absolutely. And so like, I think the more sports you collect, and especially now that like, yeah, NFL and college is coming back, without giving away too much of the secret sauce, like, you know, how are you able to collect all that data? Like, that's a crap ton of data. Like, it's, I'm sure you guys have crazy systems going on, but like, I can tell, like, is it like working, you know, more than maybe you worked in your other job before? Like, is it more taxing in that aspect because there is so much data that you have to pool?
Yeah, there's a lot of data, but I'd also say, you know, there's not a lot of people who know anything about software or data, like, sure. in this industry. It's sports yeah. betting. You think of like old school Vegas, it's just kind of different. It's not mm-hmm. Silicon Valley. There aren't really. Also, a lot of people, a lot of big VCs won't even touch this space because it's gambling with a 10-foot yeah. pole. So, like, we ended up kind of being lucky. And also, at this point, we just, like, we have some good people around the table who have been in this industry mm-hmm. longer than I've been alive, right? And, like, you know, they have relationships with operators. We've been very lucky kind of just mm-hmm. with people who either we have advising the company or just, like, we're even able to hire. So,
yeah, no, absolutely. And, you know, as you mentioned, like with VCs and, you know, you guys are self-funded. What do you think is next for Oddsjammer? What are you guys looking up? Do you guys have anything that you're coming up to, like looking forward to, like you said, potentially California signing it on? Is there anything coming up that you're like, oh, this could definitely help us grow even more?
Yeah. So state legalizations is big. We've acquired two companies at this point. So we're always mm-hmm. down to possibly find companies that are good fits with Oddsjam because we have the capital. And I think at this point, it's just like trying to be opportunistic about that. And also just like growing anything that can help us grow our audience quicker is really what we care about. Like we don't necessarily care about monetization.
Yeah.
In a weird way. We really care about just, you know, like even when you take a step back and see how many people have signed up for a DraftKings account versus probably have even ever been on Oddsjam, like that number still doesn't get us excited because that's the number we need higher.
Right. Right. I was going to say, and, but at the same time too, like after you just briefly explaining that, like especially if I'm going to get serious about gambling or like, I'm going to put more energy and effort into it, I want to, you know, make sure I'm getting some return on that. So like the fact that like, I'm not going to give some Joe Schmo in the Midwest random money and be like, oh, I hope his hunch is good. Like I'd want some serious, maybe some, as much of a close to science as I can get behind it. So I feel like that in itself would, you know, help grow. And like you said, it's probably just going to take a little time. The more states that do that, and you guys doing great outreach. So tell us about like the team at Oddsjam. I know it's you and your buddy and you and OnKit, but like, You guys have, I'm sorry, guys, website. You guys have a great looking team. It looks extensive. Tell us a little about the team. And you mentioned you're actively, you know, acquiring companies. Are you, you know, it's growing more and more exponentially, it seems like.
Yeah. Yeah. So we acquired this company called Odds Boom, which, you know, I'd say was very similar to Oddsjam, like displaying odds from US sports books. So kind of brought on the person who ran that company as our head of product, just to kind of like, you know, like run product. We have relationships, advertising relationships with all the sports books. So we have someone in biz dev who does, you know, mainly like sales and also just like make sure sports books are happy with us and overall, like we're happy with them or whatever. Like, cause it's very complicated, even from an advertising perspective. In some ways, because like just the way everything's set up, I mean, just all the random regulations in the gambling space, even just like being able to promote sports betting has taken a while. So like advertise, like you can't just like advertise and get paid for it.
Yeah.
And you're very in, you know, you're regulated. So we have someone for that. We really view Action Network as kind of our biggest competitor. So we actually, you know, brought on board their former CEO as an advisor. So kind of helping us with like, you know, how they thought about growth and, mm-hmm. and kind of their strategy versus maybe how we were at least at the time before thinking about growth. Mm-hmm. Named Noah, and then their Matt Restivo was their former chief product officer, so we brought him on as an advisor. So yeah, I mean, advisors, and then we ended up getting you know, Action Network's editor, so we started writing a lot of content. We publish probably like 20 articles a day. You know, audience really is everything, so
yeah,
getting people to the site, engaging with our content, engaging with the site. So we have editors, you know, an engineer, you know, engineers. So like overall pretty typical team, but we really, most of our team is actually former users. We hire from our email list very aggressively. So
that's cool.
Yeah. Because you know, they know sports betting and you know, they're passionate if they're responding to a cold email, if they're
interested. Yeah.
Drop. So
that's genius. Yeah. I was going to say, and they probably, I was going to say they're definitely invested. So like similar to the data question I asked, so like, especially since, I mean, now that you said you're doing like international sports as well, are you just round the clock 24/7? Like, you know, how often do you have to, like, when do you get a time to like break from it, or like, you know, what's your work day, so to speak, look like?
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't really affect us much, but like, you know, we'll publish content on like, you know, Premier League, and we'll start doing it more with like cricket and just like sports
that's
maybe
cool.
You know, the rest of the world cares about that we don't, but it doesn't really, we don't like do content on it. I mean, for the most part, we add in things for people who want it, and will, you know, kind of like optimize from an SEO perspective, so like people can like ideally find it on Google. Mm-hmm. Or if they're searching for it, we show up,
right?
But we obviously focus mainly, if I ever do a content, you know, if I'm ever doing content, I'm going to probably focus on one of the major leagues, unless it's like the World Cup, right?
Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense. And that actually, like, you bring up a good point. Like, I think it would be like, it would also, like, if you did content in every sport, you know, it could be oversaturated. Whereas, like, I think, you know, when you pick the certain ones, it could be better. So it's, I feel like this question is interesting because, like, most people in their free time would say, oh, I gamble every now and then. What do you do in your free time when you're not doing Odds Gym, or like when you're just, you know, not working out, or when you're working out potentially not hurting yourself? What are you
Yeah, I don't work out. But
what are you like doing, you know, to get away from it potentially?
You know, typical stuff. I see my friends, I go on walks. I am you know, like, I see my family, I talk to my parents, you know, like typical stuff, but you know, my job's pretty fun. So
no, I was going to say
I gamble a lot. So
yeah, that sounds like a great job. I wish that was my job. I
used to go home from work at SIG and I would just gamble all night long until I fell asleep. It was great.
So, that's awesome. And then you're like, let's make this a career. Are there any, like, especially when it comes to like, you know, I'm sure maybe down the road, especially like when you guys are the best in the, you know, you guys can do all that stuff, you know, are there any interests and topics that are important to you? Like, that one of the best things about, like, I love doing with my show is like just learning from individuals such as yourself about things that I may not have known about, or like topics that are important to them. Are there any like topics like that or interests that you wish more people kind of knew about that maybe isn't sports gambling?
Other topics?
So meaning like, you know, like if there's like something within your community you really like, or there's certain like things you want to raise awareness for, or, you know, things like that stuff, you know, I'd like, for instance, like we talked to this one guy and, you know, he thought like, you know, it's interesting that, you know, not a lot of people show love to like college soccer players. So he encouraged us to watch college soccer. You know, another guy you know, really found like interesting, like this, like play yellow kind of thing. So anything like that along those lines that like you find interesting that you would want to maybe either one day incorporate with like Odds Jam, or like something you wish, again, the answer could also just be like, nah, I don't, because at the same time, you know, it's something that maybe even you're trying to learn stuff about too.
I mean, maybe incorporating with Odds Jam, I think a lot about sports that I found fun or like things. Well, like I thought, you know, like UFC is very big in Vegas. Like if you've ever been to Vegas, it's like the sport. For some reason, like rest of the world, rest of the US doesn't care as much as I don't think. But like the handle on it is pretty shocking when like I'd argue probably there's nothing more fun than like or at least crazy and everyone bet on it than a UFC fight. So I think yeah, I mean, I definitely think we want to do a better job, you know, kind of incorporating and making it clear why certain sports are fun, because if people are only betting on one sport, that's not good for us. Like our goal is to keep NFL bettors betting on the NBA and then betting on UFC and then finding a reason to bet on even baseball.
I was going to say, with that, like, do you find that like either NFL bettors right now in their current exit, like they'll bet only on like the NFL and like they'll wait for like another sport to come back, or like they will only stay towards like the major sports? Or would you say like the average bettor tries to sprinkle their money into like a bunch of different stuff?
I'd say we get a lot of people who won't touch baseball, but so definitely like, but also a lot of it for us is just in terms of like, it's not necessarily people who pay for our subscription product as much as just like people who even like care. Right. So like for us, it matters because we do have a pretty good, you know, organic motion, like on the search engines, like Google and YouTube, like it matters how many people are even caring. So during baseball season, you know, like we just don't get as many people. And obviously, you know, that's not necessarily true last baseball season, but like first week of football was like pretty noticeable for us. Traffic increases and, you know, YouTube, view count, you know, like all these things are very noticeable to us.
Is it just because like the nature of the game, or there's not as many like props to bet on? Why do you think like not as many people want to bet on baseball? Because like I actually was just talking about my buddies. I love doing like those inning props and like things like that. Like, why do you think most people don't want to bet on baseball?
I think I don't know. But I don't really want to bet on baseball. But I think a lot of it's also just like the average bettor is recreational. So like, you know, like I'm in New York right now. You walk around New York, it's like all these bars last night, Monday Night Football, the amount of guys on their phone on freaking DraftKings. So like the amount of people who probably have been searching for a DraftKings tutorial, betting with their friends, like it just, the interest goes up and like, you just don't have that for baseball. I mean, apparently the Mets made the playoffs yesterday. I don't think anyone in the bar was watching the Mets game. Football. I don't think anyone was watching the Mets game except the bartender who kept mentioning it.
No, it's funny you say that. Like even other stuff outside of sports, you can tell like are getting, like for instance, last night they had games on like ABC and ESPN. Other stuff that they would have done ABC or that time was pushed off into like other facets, whether it's like Disney Plus or like ESPN Plus or something like that. It just, because it takes that much of people, like that many people want to tune into it, it just takes over. And like, honestly too, I bet you Aaron Judge probably could have got close to the home run record for Mantle, and Maris and I mean, on that bar probably been like, okay, but like, what's the Titans score right now? Even though they got blown out. That's pretty interesting. Okay. So, well, and I was going to say, so basically, and just a quick rundown. So like in your, before you, let's say I were to subscribe to it, you know, and let's say I am interested in baseball or something, would you basically, what is entailed in like your subscription? Like what do I get as like the consumer?
Yeah. So for us, you know, obviously like content and the odds screen, like viewing the whole market side by side, DraftKings versus FanDuel, what are the prices? That's free. Okay. And we monetize it via advertising. With subscription, you get access to tools, as they're called, in these pools, basically the goal is to help sports bettors make more informed bets or sharper bets. So it's kind of like, I'm trying to think of a relevant example in trading, but I can't as much. I mean, it's kind of like people who they pay for the Bloomberg terminal, you know, at companies to like make better trades. Right. That's the goal. It's like, we don't force you to place a bet, but we show you bets that we think are actually advantageous and have a mathematical profit margin that can be quantified. So it's less, it's very data driven and mathematical, as opposed to typically when people think about sports betting, it's like, what's the pick? Like, is it Bills or is it Titans? And it's like, in hindsight, it's very obvious it was the Bills.
Right.
But at what price, at what odds should you bet the Titans is a way to think about it, or versus what price would I want to bet the Bills? People don't think about stocks in that way either, right? Like, people are always like, oh, is Facebook going up or down? It's like, the way to think about it is like, right, what is the current price and is it a good buy at that price?
That makes sense a lot. That actually makes a ton of sense. And like,
people never think about price. It's very
And it's funny because like, like when you think about it, price is pretty much everything, I feel like, because like that's how you're going to find out how much your return and like how much you're going to get off of a return. But like, that makes me interested. You might have just picked up another subscriber, because like, I would be curious to say, and they probably can't say the same thing when people are forking over that money to people, you know, for, you know, picks or what's the pick, you know, where are they coming up with their logic and reason now? That is it because they just like statistically took some notes and they said, well, they're like, you know, I guess, and this is another question to you, is there like legitimacy to like, let's say in their history, you know, they just came up with a stat that like Kirk Cousins is 2-8 against the spread, like in his career. How much does that play an effect? Like, let's say next week when I go to play, or if I were going to put a bet against like the Vikings, does that matter at all? Or is it like, you know, is that just a stat people throw out there to like, either like for their benefit to bet, like either on their book and be like, oh, they're going to bet like against Kirk Cousins and like favorite that way? Or like, how much does those like records and those stats actually mean something?
I'd say it's a reason to place a bet.
Okay.
But it's not like a good reason. Like, people always want to justify their bets.
Sure.
Right. So it's kind of like people being like, oh, you know, the 1st of March, Facebook stock has always went down, so I'm selling it this morning because it's almost the 1st of March. It's like, but like on December 1st, like it's like you can find trends whenever you look at the past.
Yeah.
You know, like guaranteed a day that it's rained in Seattle every day. Is that day like haunted in Seattle? Should you never go there? No. Like, it's just
right.
Like, when you're looking in the past, you can always find trends. So like, yeah, Oddsjam's very different in that way. But
I like that.
And I'd say like, that's the mentality that people, that's very, I think not, like, it's not a system that works. And it's
I agree.
Yeah.
I would agree that that is, that's what my opinion was. It's like, sure, every time someone's like, oh yeah, like they're like, you know, they're always, you know, he always does well when it's 8 p.m., when he's playing in an 8 p.m. game. Well, like, okay, yeah, sure. But like, that to me seems more like chance more than anything, that like, than it actually being like actually based on statistic that like, yes, when he plays on this field, on this type of turf, sure, he has this kind of success. I always feel like whenever I see those records, I'm like, that stat doesn't really necessarily mean anything in the moment. You kind of have to like weigh other things about it.
And it's same with like losing versus winning. Like, I forget what the big upset was last year. I think it was Jets Rams or I forget. They were like plus 1800 and like on the money line. And people don't, something like that ahead of game time.
Yeah.
People are very bad at realizing, like, when everyone looks at yesterday and is like, oh, obviously the Bills lost. It's like, well, the Titans were 85% to win the game, according to the bookmakers. Like, they're going to win 85% of the time. But people always forget, like, you know, like, underdogs have already done well. This, like, people are very bad with like probabilities in their mind and realizing that, like, yeah, the favored bet wins more often. But when you bet $500 on the Bills, you're only getting $100 in profit. So you
Whereas
when you're betting on the Titans, you're betting 100 to win 500 in profit, so you don't need to win as frequently. But people don't put that together.
No, I think you're right. And I think honestly, too, like, because they just don't educate themselves on that aspect. When they see those big numbers, like, oh, they're plus 1800, like, or they're, you know, the money line is like anything, probably anything above like 300. People are always hesitant to like say that, oh, they'll like the, like to put the bet on the plus side, because they're like, there's definitely like, yeah, this is a proverbial lock, so to speak. I think there's a huge thing that like people, when they see a specific odds number, they're like, yeah, I'm not touching that, because like, there's just no way it can hit.
Yeah. But yeah, that's why a lot of the professional people who do it full time, they make money off betting golfers that they bet plus 2000 that should actually be plus 1500. And you don't realize that return every, like, you still lose most of the time, but when you win, your payouts are big enough to justify the bet.
Yeah, you still come up positive. Okay. Well, damn, dude. Before I jump into this ridiculous question, is there anything else about Odds Jam you wanted to share? Or, like, obviously, this is now an Odds Jam podcast, so we will be, you know, we're huge fans of Odds Jam and no one else. But, you know, is there any other things about Odds Jam you wanted to share, or like anything you wish people knew about sports gambling or would advise people going into it?
No, I just think, you know, be careful until you learn how to do it, right?
There you go. Yeah.
It's kind of like trading. Like, some people just dive in with all their money and it's like, dude, like, come on, man. Like, start with like smaller trades and make sure you at least understand the buy versus sell button. I think it's the same thing with sports betting. Like, people just start gambling a lot of money and they don't realize how bad they are.
Yeah.
Because you still win. Like, the difference between like being profitable and not profitable is like winning 50% of the time versus 55% on like spreads and totals.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and like, people have a very hard time realizing, over the course of 100 bets, did I win 50 of them or 55? Like, do I have an edge or do I not? And most people, it's not. But you don't realize, because every time you win, you think you're the smartest person in the world. And every time you lose, there was some other reason that you should have won.
Right. I actually, before I ask you this next question, what is your take on parlays? Do you touch them or do you not even like touch them with the 10-foot pole?
You can definitely create profitable parlays.
Okay. Cause like, I'm the big, and it was sheer chance. Like, it was sheer, like, everyone jokes, like, and you can ask like all the old people. Like, I one time for the NBA, it was like a 26 leg, dude. It was nuts. And it was kind of interesting. I did it back to back days. I hit 20. It was like 26. I hit 24 of 26 both days. And I was like, it's more impressive to me that somehow, some way, I got 48 of these correct out of 60 than like actually like losing money. Like, to me, I was like, shit, maybe I should have just done those as straight bets. But it was interesting to me that, like, you know, like, obviously those were ridiculous, and if it hit, sweet, it would have been cool. But like, it's one of those things where it was like, I think in that aspect, like, the odds of me even like getting those mount right was just crazy in itself. But like you said, I'm always the guy that's like, oh, there was, you know, DeJounte Murray should have definitely like not come out in the second quarter like as much as like, it's, and that was the reason I lost it. That 100% was. I might honestly do the help for your baseball stuff, because I personally, because you know me and stuff, like, I like baseball betting and I like baseball, and like, sure, I won't turn on a game in the middle of July because it's, you know, that's could be a pretty boring afternoon. But at the same time too, like, you know, following baseball and keeping up with it is just as, you know, fun. And I think if I got good at learning the money side of it, it would be definitely even more entertaining. But the last question before I let you get on with the rest of your day, my man. So you've seen Step Brothers, right? The movie. All right. So this question, dude, I've asked this question to like I spoke to Dwayne Harris, like the old NFL player, PGA golfers, you name it. I've asked this question to everyone, and I just find it so interesting, and I'd love to get your take especially. So that scene where like they're on the playground and all those fifth graders attack them and stuff, and like, you know, they like, you know, try to fight the fifth graders. I'm curious to know, in your situation, like in your current, you know, state, in where you're at, how many fifth graders do you think you could take on before they overpower you? Like, do you think you could take down like 10 fifth graders, maybe 20 fifth graders? Do you feel like you're physically able to do that? Or do you think you would probably lace up your kicks and just scurry on out of there because they're going to win?
I would not take on 5 fifth graders. My foot hurts. I can barely run on a treadmill. I'll take on 1.
Yeah, dude, they're built now, dude. Fifth graders are big, dude. Like, you watch the Little League World Series.
They play dodgeball. These kids are scary.
They are. Oh, speaking of, actually, Kurt, well, I guess it falls under baseball. Can you bet on the Little League World Series?
No, I don't think so, but you can bet on minor league.
Okay, that's it. That makes sense. And that's the other crappy. Well, is it just the Virginia rule? Do they have rules like either in New York or whatever? Like, so Virginia, you can't bet on a Virginia college because like right. It's for some. So is that applicable to all states or is that just Virginia?
I don't think so. I think the really chill states like Arizona, they don't care. I think some states really care. But,
Actually, it makes sense. You can't bet on kids.
I don't think they. Yeah, you can't. Well, you can bet on the election. So
interesting.
Not in the U.S., but DraftKings Ontario has odds on who's going to be president next.
That's actually hysterical. What are the odds in favor? Did you know off the top of your head who's favored? Trump's
favored in every betting market in Europe.
Really interesting. That's an interesting tag. That's interesting. I'd love to know the
Biden is a heavy underdog. So
I was about to say. Interesting that they do that. Like, that's pretty cool to think about. Okay.
We can bet on, you know, UK prime ministers, but I don't think anyone really cares or knows what's going on. So.
I was about to say, I think you'd have more people Australia, betting on baseball.
Like, I don't know. Like,
yeah. Dude, that's awesome. Well, dude, before, you know, thank you so much for coming on. I think more people will educate themselves on Ajim. And I think just at its basic principle, if you can promise me a higher return on my gambling, then it seems like a no-brainer almost with the facts that there's science and data behind it. So, dude, thank you so much for joining me, dude. This has been awesome. Again, you got to come back on another time, but we wish you the best, man. You look great. Hope you're doing well, and we'll talk again here soon, my man.
Cool. Thanks, Joe.
Of course, man. Peace. Have a good one. Absolutely necessary.